You are listening to The Stick and Hack Show, a show about golf and life from a stick and a hack. Now, here is your host, Adam Grubb and Mike Ryan.
All right, everybody, welcome in. Stick and Hack Show. It is season three. Welcome to you. Appreciate you guys being here. Hopefully this year we can do, I don't know, Mike, what, 10 times better than last year? Which I don't know how that's possible because we rocked it last year.
We did.
We were one of the bright spots of 2020.
It's a difficult bar.
It is, but we were a bright spot of 2020. In fact, we were on a list, the top three bright spots of 2020. Guess who was on it?
Who?
Stick and Axe Show.
Ooh.
Yeah, me specifically.
What are you saying? I wasn't other?
Correct. That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, not that guy.
Show brought to you this week by UpGlove. And UpGlove is one of our new member perks partners. They're introducing golfers to a streamlined golf glove buying experience with less hassle and less expense. We know what that process is like, Mike, and it sucks sometimes. UpGlove is a subscription-style glove service that gives golfers gloves as frequently as they need without a long-term commitment. Want to save even more money? UpGlove is part of the Member Perks program for Stick and Hack members only. Sign up as a free member of Stick and Hack and go to our Members Perks page to get the code and current deal from UpGlove, proud sponsor of the Stick and Hack Show. First guest of 2021, it's another Adam, Mike. I'm sorry, you've got two Adams you got to deal with now. Adam Young from AdamYoungGolf.com is on the show. He is an instructor, and his business was upended last year, obviously, as most were, and he has moved a lot of his trainings and instruction online. AdamYoungGolf.com, he's going to be talking to us about golf instruction, something I'm sure you are waiting with bated breath as you've written 27 jokes already about how much instruction I need. So that's, I'm excited.
It's true.
Excited for that.
It's a true statement.
You know, golf instruction, Mike, for me, has always been one of those things where it's the last thing I want to do for a variety of reasons. It's the last thing a lot of people want to do, but it's also something that they should do if you find the right instructor. Your immediate thoughts when you hear golf instruction, what do you think of in the space?
Yeah, I think it's one of those, for most, I would say, casual golfers, that's intimidating. And then probably on some level, they feel a little, they just have a hard time taking criticism. And it's not necessarily when you're going to an instructor, it's not necessarily criticism. It's something to make you better. But I think a lot of people have a hard time with there's so many complexities of the golf swing that there are a lot of instructors out there that make it too complicated, and then people just get frustrated and they're like, I'm done with this. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. And the complication, the idiosyncrasies of the swing are enough to drive anybody mad, but then to have someone tell you that you have to, you're an eighth of an angle or eighth of an inch off of your angle, forget it.
Right.
I'll bowl at that point. So this is from Sir Walter Simpson, from The Art of Golf, 1887. He said, the player whose driving is feeble should hit harder, unless it is because he is nipping, in which case he ought not to nip.
Yep.
I'll repeat that because it bears repeating. The Art of Golf by Sir Walter Simpson, 1887. The player whose driving is feeble should hit harder, which is still a tip, honestly, that we use today in 2021. Unless it is because he is nipping, in which case he ought not to nip. Now, for my money, that's instruction I can follow. If I had somebody telling me that, I'm in 100%. I just won't nip then, I guess. Right?
What is that? I don't even know what the hell that means.
I have no idea. The following is from January, February issue of Golf Journal 1993. All right, I'm going to read this verbatim.
All right.
Golf instruction through history has been a stew of the bogus and the brilliant, with dashes of originality and insight blended with lots of snake oil and large chunks of bologna. We eat golf instruction up. Whether or not it is good for our games is beside the point. Golf is so lonely and difficult that there is a psychic benefit merely from receiving counsel, regardless of its bologna content. This guy's the best. If the advice does not click, we fret that we are inadequate to receive it, not that the advice itself was flawed. In golf, the teacher is to the tyro as the Wizard of Oz was to Dorothy. Golf instruction has not improved with time, though the photos and drawings here, this is again from the Golf Journal 1993, January, February issue, prove that some of the early teachers were clueless. No modern how-to golf writer is more graceful or incisive than two of the pioneers, Horace G. Hutchinson and Sir Walter G. Simpson. Sir Walter G. Simpson, by the way, said a second ago, not to nip. As for hands-on teaching, there was simply a lot less of it in the old days and a lot less was expected of the lesson. Golf was primarily a match play sport. Strategy and psychology were more important than technique. That part there, Mike,
yep,
is the most important part of the entire 300-word paragraph. Because not that is still the case today.
Yeah.
That it is more strategy and psychology with yourself than it is the instruction. But golf instruction has not changed dramatically over the years.
Yeah.
You still have a person telling you what to do and telling you what you're not doing right and telling you how to do the sport you're doing. Golf instruction gets a bad rap sometimes. And I think it gets a bad rap because it is so technical in nature. And because there is that one-to-one personal connection you have with an instructor, right? But name me a sport that somebody in their life has just been able to do flawlessly and perfectly throughout their entire career. Feel free. I'll give you some time.
Tiger Woods.
No, not true. Not true. Tiger has...
Wasn't he on like Johnny Carson when he was like 5 years old?
But he's never had instruction. That's my point. He's had coaches and instruction his entire career.
He might have just picked it up. Who knows?
He probably did. But at some point, he's always had instruction and he's at the top level.
Yeah.
Jordan, name an athlete. I think golf instruction gets a bad rap because of what that article said almost 20 years ago, which is that it's the person... not the instructor. The person can't do it. So they say, well, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right?
I've always felt the best teachers in anything, not just golf, but teachers in general, are the ones that are able to relate to who they're teaching and are able to adapt what they do to the people they're teaching.
Correct.
Because people are so individualized and they learn so differently that I've always felt that if you feel like you can fit people into a box when you teach them, that you're doing yourself and them a disservice. So.
And the golf instructors of today, there's also this, the price. They're 80 to $150 an hour, in some cases, much more.
Yeah.
And depending on who you are, is that worth it to your game to shave off a couple strokes or to hit the ball a little further?
Right.
No. Instruction is primarily looked at for either both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
You've got your sticks over here that are trying to win the county am, and you got your hacks over here trying not to embarrass himself. Everybody in the middle of that, does instruction help and do that, and should they care? We're going to talk to Adam Young about that in just a little bit. Harry Vardon famously never had lessons. Now, this is alleged. Okay. I didn't know Harry. Okay. Huh.
Really?
No, okay. I never met him.
Good to know.
Harry Vardon famously never had lessons. Even Arnold Palmer, one of the most famous golfers of all time, joining the Stick and Hack Show and golf specifically. Even Arnie, a son of a golf instructor, is rumored to not give any credence to instruction. Now, let me tell you the story about the first lesson. All right. Now, this is half-assed internet research, but nonetheless, hammered. In.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. Literally Googled.
Is that how we always do it?
Literally Googled seconds ago. The story goes, as the first lesson in golf, which cost $3, which back then was probably $40,000, consisted of a kid hitting 12 balls into an open field at another kid who was fielding the balls. The instructor gave a new tip for each shot and then sent the kid on his way. Honestly, I think that's the best way to do instruction. A new tip for each shot.
I feel like that's kind of like the turn and burn approach.
Well, somebody...
You do that. Do that.
And now this.
Now do that.
Later. Later, idiot. $3, please.
Well, let's step right up.
Let's bring somebody in who probably has a different way of doing things. Adam Young from adamyounggolf.com joins the Stick and Hack Show. Adam, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome, sir. Thank you for being a part of the first show of 2021 and season 3 here. So you heard some stories about instruction. You heard our thoughts about it. First of all, have you ever thought in your life that 12 shots, 12 different tips, is that even possible?
I see that's how amateurs teach each other, definitely. and I had a blog post, which is recently why you shouldn't take advice off your amateur friends. Number one, because they're trying to take your money off you anyway. But usually the instruction goes, you know, try this and that doesn't work. And then try this, that doesn't work. And eventually, if you throw enough at the wall, something will work, right? But it might have nothing to do with the with what was actually going on.
Adam, you're exposing my money making scheme. You're exposing my money making scheme. This is how I take all of Adam's money.
Yeah, you want to be really up. You want to be really up high, and then just slice as hard as you can. Well, Adam, your year last year was probably crazy because you live in a world where you've got to have one-on-one instruction. You live in a spot where you need to be hands-on, and you weren't able to do that last year. You moved a lot of your instruction. You moved your entire operation to Las Vegas, where you're at now. But you moved a lot of your instruction online. And you were one of the first that we know that did that early. You saw the signs and you said, okay, so I gotta do something here to keep things afloat. So kudos to you on that front. But how did you feel moving your instruction online, number one, helps those people that we talked about earlier, those guys that don't want to spend an hour on a range and don't have the time to spend an hour on a range, get an instruction? Have you stumbled upon by accident and by sheer survival instincts on an instruction method that could work for more people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I came to Vegas with the intention of just setting up a facility here, or you know, going into a golf club and doing events, and then COVID hit right as I'm setting everything up. So that kind of derailed everything. But luckily, since 2012, I've been blogging, I've been writing books, I've been creating some online content. So I kind of had that backing me up. And, you know, I use this as an opportunity. It's, you know, what are you going to do if you can't work? So I've dove head into online instruction. And yeah, it's going quite well. I do miss working with people one-on-one, definitely. But it has got me thinking more about how I can reach a broader audience. And even people like yourself, you've got the stick, who I can talk to about ball flight laws. I can talk about launch angles, spin rate, spin axis. I can go as deep as they want into mechanics. But I know lots of people hate that. In fact, in my own game, I don't do that. I don't think like that. I'm much more like the hack in my mindset now. So I know that there are a huge amount of people out there who don't want to change their swings. They don't want to be spending hours on the range. And so how do you get those together? So I've tried to do that. I certainly have tried to do that. I might have alienated myself from both groups. Hopefully I haven't. But I think there are certain bits of instruction that apply to everybody. So, you know, even if I had Tiger Woods in front of me, I've never coached him, unfortunately, I'd love to, but, or a complete beginner, there are certain things I would be looking at with both of those players. They are, how are they striking the ground with an iron? So, you know, are they contacting an inch behind it, 2 inches behind, or are they contacting ball first, then turf, or are they not hitting the ground at all, you know, in a thin shot? So how are they contacting the ground? How are they contacting the face? Are they hitting toe, heel, or center? And then where's the face pointing? Is it too open or is it closed? So I would summarize golf as those are the three most important things that are applicable to all. You could go more in depth into other ball flight laws, but those are the things that I'm looking at with every single golfer. I think they're the things that bind us all as players. And I think if you get those three in functional places, I was going to say correct there, but in functional ranges, you will be a better golfer. And I think that's nice for really analytical players to kind of take all that complexity that they have in their head and say, well, actually, I can just boil it down to these three things. And it's also nice for the complete hack to go, oh, wait, you're telling me I don't have to get P1 to P10 absolutely perfect? I can just get these three things better and I will improve my...
What the hell's he talking about?
Position.
My God, P1.
Yeah.
I've never playing golf 25 years. I've never heard that.
He doesn't do well with P1.
Adam, you are the best-selling author of The Practice Manual, The Ultimate Guide for Golfers. It's an international best-selling book in 5 countries. You've been featured on the Golf Channel. You are a holistic golf coach. You're seeing the game as more than the sum of its parts. Your blog reaches over a million golfers each year. Everything that I've said so far, I'm jealous of. So good for you. discussing everything from the technical to the philosophical. Now, Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen, who were on the show a couple episodes ago from Vision 54, this is what they said about you, sir. Adam is, and let me clarify, Adam Young. Surely not me. Adam Young is definitely one who commits to continuous learning and making a difference. He believes that the coaching of the future in golf will include much more than just technical knowledge. And you illuminated that just seconds ago. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the future of golf will be more than just technical knowledge?
Well, I think instruction is, I would say 99% of it has been based on, let's pick a player, any player, and let's try and copy their swing. So let's break down their swing in nth degree. You know, this is where they are at setup. This is where they are at the top of their swing, blah, blah, blah. And that can certainly work because anybody who takes the time to go and try and copy a swing is going to be practicing, right? So by default, if they're practicing, they're going to get better. Now, whether it was that model that got them better, you know, there's a good call, certainly, that there are certain positions that can help you. But I think that's just how instruction has been. And even to this day, if you pick up any golf magazine, 99% of the instruction articles are going to be based around movement. Now, what I've always wondered is, well, why is Jim Furyk such a good player? Why has Jim Furyk got $80 million in his bank account and 2 scores in the 50s? Yeah, he looks like an octopus falling out of a tree. I stole that from someone else.
Don't say that.
That's yours. You claim
you
that.
Take that for what it is.
That's yours.
Yeah.
I'll claim it. Yeah.
No one's listening.
I'll claim it. But you have all these different players with different swings. I used to use Tiger as a model, right? As a kid, as a 15-year-old kid taking up golf, I was analytical enough to go this route that everybody else is going. So I would freeze frame. On Saturday nights, I'd spend time recording Tiger Woods' swing, freeze framing it, going into the window and checking in the reflection if my positions are exactly the same. And I just think that's the way that every golfer has gone. And that will get you so far, but there are missing elements in that. And I posted a video of McIlroy the other day doing everything, or pretty much everything, tour level. So he had a tour level grip, tour level setup, tour level top of the swing, tour level end position. You know, I could go on and on. The swing looked tour level, but he topped it. The ball went like an inch off the tee. Now, it was an intentional thing. He was trying to top it. It was like a joke thing. But it just goes to show that, wait there, you can get all those moving pieces, the swing, the model, to look like a tour pro, and it's still possible to hit an absolutely horrible or non-functional shot. And you only have to look at a tour player when they're playing bad or if they hit a bad shot. You know, a tour player can still hit it 40 yards offline. So what has changed in that? Now, if you view their swing back, it'll look identical pretty much from one that goes 40 yards left to one that gets piped down the center. It'll look identical. And the difference is in those three things that I talked about. How well did they strike the ground? How well did they strike the face? And usually in a tall player, that's an issue. Where was the face pointing? So you can trace it all back to that. And even with a complete amateur, if you take a 10 handicapper and you look at their best shots and their worst shots, I do this all the time where I stick their swing side by side. And in 95% of cases, you can't see a difference. You can't see a difference in the movement, not a noticeable one. But it's just been a small change in one of those three things. For an amateur, usually it's a ground contact issue.
So let me make sure I understand something here, Adam. You're telling me that Rory McIlroy can fake top it? Is that for real?
Yeah, most good players can.
Absolutely.
Good for him. Adam Young is on the program, the Stick and Axe Show. It's adamyounggolf.com.
You know, Adam, you talked about all of that, and one of the things we wanted to get into, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts, is, you know, how do you see instruction today, and what has changed over the years that's been good for the game? And I mean for the game of golf in general, like the way instruction is approached, what has improved?
I think what we talk about, I think more people are coming to realize that it's the little things that matter a lot in golf, rather than just looking at positions and how the overall look of the swing is. I mean, that's important too, but the little things that matter. I think the invention of TrackMan, if you guys know that, the radar device that detects every little bit of minutia that you'd need to know. I think that's just highlighted to people what actually changes in a shot. So as an example of that, we know that the difference between a shot that goes straight down the middle and one that hooks into the rough is 2 degrees of club face. That's all. Sorry, Adam. I know you don't like numbers and all this physics and stuff like that. But it's
fine.
Such a
you can keep
small
going.
Change.
Yeah.
It's such a small change that has occurred. And I think that's highlighted now in the industry. So more instructors are looking at that. I think to Pia and Lynn's stuff as well, the human skills of this, of, balance, tempo, things like that. But just, I call human skills understanding what's going on. Like for the average amateur, when they hit a bad shot, they turn around to their buddies and they say, what went wrong? And their buddies throw, oh, you lifted your head up, or you did this with your arm or that with your arm. And it's all rubbish. It's never the case. I've recorded people. I do this all the time. One of my favorite things to do, and it's so weird, but this is golf instructor stuff, is to record a player when they've hit an awesome shot and then record them when they said they've lifted their head. And I stick them side by side. I've never seen a player lift their head early on the ones that they say they have. All their buddies watching say they have. But it's just never the case. It's always just been something small. And so just getting the player to understand what actually went wrong with that. That went left. Oh, club face was just a couple of degrees close. Okay, no biggie. I can fix that. So I think understanding, having that understanding is key. And that's a human element. That's not a technical thing. That's just a golf intellect thing. And things like strategy as well. I know you guys mentioned it earlier. Things like club selection, just picking the right club, picking the right targets as well. You can knock a hell of a lot of shots off your game just by picking good clubs and good targets and never, ever changing your swing. I think that has been a huge thing that's come together. I think a lot of people are starting to converge on these ideas. I know the book, Every Stroke Counts, Every Shot Counts by Mark Brody. He gave a lot of statistics that are based on tour, and that's all bringing together the stuff that Scott Fawcett has done on strategy as well. I had a lot of stuff as well before I met Scott Fawcett, just about picking, about thinking your shot pattern as a bigger spread rather than just aiming directly at a target. Like, I never aim at a pin. I haven't aimed at a pin since I was maybe 15 years old. I'm always aiming to the right side of the green or the middle of the green because my shot pattern tends to miss to the left.
Hey, Adam, you and I have something in common, but probably for different reasons. I've never aimed at a pin either. let me ask you this. You're talking about the human element, and I think, honestly, we could do 30 minutes just on that because that – in and of itself is probably one of the number one things that people forget, that they're human. Even professional golfers, they are human people that make mistakes and make errors. And the amateur has this such a high level of need to be perfect on the golf course. The personalities that come out in golfers, and you can say you learn a lot about somebody when you play golf with them because of how they handle things. What are the personalities that you work with and that you teach, the different types, and how do you move your instruction and your coaching to those different personalities? Mike and I are very different. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but we're very different in the way that we bring in knowledge and information and handle life. And because of that, you're going to teach us very differently. You're sketch drawing and using crayons. Mike, you've got the stats out, right? How do you do that with somebody you've never met?
I think the tasks would be very similar. So Adam, if I'm teaching you, it might be, okay, just hit a couple of shots right for me, hit a couple of shots left for me, now hit one down the middle. And we work on games like that. I might draw a dot on the ground. So one of my favorite drills is to draw a little dot on a concrete slab, give you an old club and just say, see if you can hit that dot for me. As simple as that. And the first few will surprise you. You'll be like 4 or 6 inches behind that dot. And then after a few swings, without me telling you any information, without me telling you anything about weight shift, lag, anything like that, I don't have to mention that at all. You will figure out how to move your contact from 6 inches behind to closer to that dot in just 5 swings. And if I leave you there for an hour, you'll be able to hit that spot over and over. And that's one of the most important skills in golf. Now, if I was teaching a stick, I might talk, if they ask me, well, how do I do this better? I might suggest certain things like, oh, well, you could shift your weight a little bit more, or you could feel like a later release. In fact, I would actually try and steer the analytical player to more just towards, well, let's just see if you can do it first without me giving you that information. And, you know, I might even layer on certain things like, let's play a game out of this. You know, analytical people are usually numbers-based. So I'll say, all right, every swing you make, we'll write down how many inches behind that spot you were. So, okay, that one was 4 inches behind. That one was 3. At the end of 10 balls, I'll say you average 2 inches behind. Let's do another 10-ball test and see if you can improve it. So analytical players tend to like that kind of stuff. I mean, some non-analytical players like those kind of games as well. But yeah, I can just, the tasks would remain the same, whether you're a tour player, a stick pack. It's just the way that I would guide you towards improving at those tasks might be a little different. And that's not even stick and hack stuff. That may just be what you like, what you prefer, whether you're numbers based or whether you just want to be left alone to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that actually, you know, that kind of lends to what I said earlier about, you know, finding a way to teach people differently the same thing. You know, you, and this goes into my next question, and you recently wrote a blog about the lie told in golf, and that is, it has to be this way. But you asked the question, what if? In your mind, should people, you know, keep an open mind when they're going into a teacher, a golf teacher, or an instructor? And why do you keep an open mind when you're teaching a new student to approach the game?
Yeah, I mean, I was always, when I first started golf, I was in that mindset of one way. There's only one way to do this. It has to be the Tiger Woods way. And that, as I said, that can work. If you follow one model, you're probably going to get better from practicing and stuff like that. But that belief starts to crack a little when you see Jim Furyk. When you see, it's not just Jim Furyk, it's Dustin Johnson. You know, Dustin Johnson has a strong grip and bowed at the top. You get Webb Simpson, who's strong grip and cupped at the top. You get Spieth. You get Bryson, who are weak grip. So even the fundamentals, the things that you would call fundamentals, they're all over the place on tour as well. So you cracks start to appear, and then you start to coach, and you start to see some players who you improve the look of their swing. It gets better, and I found this myself as well. I could improve the look of the swing and hit it worse. Like, well, what's that all about? And then you come across players who look horrible, like absolutely horrible, and yet they can get the ball around in decent numbers. And you think, well, what's that all about as well? And then I started experimenting. When I started learning that, wait there, all that matters is those three things, or those are the three most important things. I started saying, well, let's just for fun see if I can do it in different ways. So I would do it just with the stupidest grip. I'd grab the club like this and just stand there for 5, 10 minutes, an hour, and see if I could make those three things correct and see what the ball did. And you know what? Once I got those three things correct, the ball flew off. Great. I couldn't create the same speed gripping it like that. I started doing what I call old man swings, where I just basically lock my body and then just flip my arms at it like that. And still I could get it down there. I could pummel these balls over and over and over. I became quite a good trick shot artist.
That's my favorite swing, I think. The old man swing, I think, is my favorite swing.
There is nothing, I've never seen an old man swing not work in the history of golf.
It's the best.
And they beat me every single damn time. Why? Because they're hitting the face of the club on the ball, and they're blessed with perfect swing? No. Because all of the things they've learned how to hit the ball the way they need to hit the ball for them then, right? They didn't swing that way when they were 30 or 25. They're swinging that way now because they're 75 years old, and that's fine. And they still, 180 yards, 190 yards is still a good drive for them, and they're happy. Because why are they happy, Mike?
Because they hit it square.
It's right down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they, in fact, old guys can be relatively consistent because a lot of the old guys, they don't want instruction. They don't want to be tinkered with and messed with. They just stick with the same thing.
Leave me alone. Let me smoke my cigar and leave me the hell alone. You young punk. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You know what? Lots of people don't. Lots of instructors too, unfortunately.
Adam Young is the guest here from AdamYoungGolf.com. He's a coach and instructor and a best-selling author. Adam, let's talk about practice for a second, all right? And I'm not going to do it.
Practice?
Nope. No? We're not going to. I made a bet with myself that I wouldn't. So let's talk about practice. And the difference between just hitting balls and truly getting better. You've given several drills already that I think people will take away from a practice session. A practice session doesn't need to be 90 minutes in a bunker. It can be a range session. It can be a warm-up session. Anytime you're hitting a ball, in some cases, could be practice for whatever is happening next. So what is the difference, and what are some of the things that you tell your students and anybody you play golf with? Here's how you properly put in a practice session on something.
You realize my book was 400 pages on that, right?
I do. And you've got two and a half minutes to get your answer out. So go.
Okay. All right then. One, I would say, get rid of the myth of perfect practice makes perfect. Right. That's how everybody practices. I'm just going to groove my swing. All right. I would say at least add an element of variability. So what I mean by that is try and hit some shots to the right. Try and hit some shots to the left. Try and hit it off the toe. Try and hit it off the heel. Try and nip it a little bit. There you are. Alluding to the stuff you said earlier. Yeah, so nip it. Nip it off the turf.
Right.
And then try and dig in. So nip it is just clip the top of the turf and then dig in deep. So try these things. That's what I did as a kid, or that was some of my practice as a kid. And I believe most of my biggest learning experiences came from that. It's just active play, right? And you look at even in the animal kingdom, what is play? Why do I've got a new puppy and he's playing all the time. They're just exploring boundaries. And that's what we lose as adults, right? We get locked into, all right, this is just the only way to do it. And play breaks us free from that. There's so many things you can learn from it. I'll take lifelong slicers and I'll just ask them, close the face 80 degrees if you want. Make a point at your body. Now grip it and now hit a few shots just to see what happens. And they see it go left. And then I say, well, okay, now do it 60 degrees, now 40 degrees, now 20 degrees closed. And they start to get to the point where, whoa, this feels awesome. This feels really compressed. That ball's going two clubs farther. And I'm actually getting the ball to curve to the left this time. I'm like, yeah, great. That's awesome. Now you can use that to fix your slice when you're on the course. So just that, you know, doing that for 20 minutes, half an hour, that can have a lifelong effect on that person because they now know what it takes to fix their slice. If they want to improve at their ability to control that, more practice is better. But they'll always have that concept there. Or I can take a lifelong shanker and just ask them to try and hit it out of the toe and just, you know, just experiment with it. I'll get a bottle of Dr. Scholl's foot spray. A can of Dr. Scholl's foot spray, spray the face so it leaves a white coating. And then I just ask them to intentionally play around with hitting different parts of the face. I've never had someone say they don't learn something from that. And so, it's just play.
You know, Adam, and you mentioned this, you made the statement, someone can go out on the course and then fix their slice while they're on the course. And my question is, you know, why is it anytime someone gives a tip mid-round that it's the worst thing in the world and people are just like, oh my God, what? I can't do it. They freak out. It seems to me like something like that would help people, you know, to be able to do those things.
Yeah, it's because we're actually very consistent as humans. Even though the result isn't consistent, we are incredibly consistent with what we do. Like a shanker isn't going center, 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 random shank. That doesn't happen for 95% of the cases. A shanker is hitting heel, 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 slightly more towards the heel, and that's a disaster. So they see disaster occasionally, and they say, I'm so inconsistent. And you're like, no, you've got a Torpro strike quality. And so we are very consistent until we try to consciously change something. And when someone gives us a tip, that then we're thinking about our swing, and then that does open up a bigger spread of inconsistency. And because golf is so precise, it only takes a very tiny change to make a huge outcome. So if someone says, you did something on that and then you try and change it. Well, even if the next swing you change it by a quarter of an inch, that can be enough to make a completely different shot. And then that can leave you bouncing around between, oh my God, that was too much, and oh, that was too little, and oh my God, I can't even find my old swing anymore. That's even if the advice is correct.
Yeah.
I mean, that advice could be absolutely on the money, and it wouldn't work. So even as a teacher, I tend not to give any technical advice on the course with players. I might give them strategy advice, like, oh, you know, your every shot today has gone 20 yards right. Why not aim at the left side of the fairway? Or the only occasion I would give technical advice is if someone is having an absolute nightmare and every shot is, say, a hosel rocket. And then you might say to them, well, just try and, you know, align out of the toe today.
I know a guy like that.
Or maybe just go home. Maybe you just go home. Okay, let's try this again tomorrow because you, sir, are a disaster.
that can work, but I find that skirting the issue. I like to fix the issue.
Adam, I'll tell you this. If I were to have a on... Oh, it's producer Shane, you idiot.
That's the best.
But a perfect show ruined yet again by producer Shane. And look at him. He's over there in the corner. Just sheepishly.
We need to get him a dunce cap.
We do. Do you have any instruction for producer Shane, Adam, that can bring him into 2021, the season 3 of the Stick and Hack Show? I don't even know what the hell I was saying. Doesn't matter. Adam Young Golf is – oh, I know what I was going to say. If I were to pick an instructor or a coach, I want your type of thinking because you have a very unique and cool way of getting people – to A, relax, and just, come on, guys, it's not that difficult, and it's not that important. Either try this or try that, and then whatever of those works, keep doing that. Do I have that right?
Can I give an example of that?
Absolutely.
I'm going to give an example of that. There was a guy, because I run these forums on Facebook, and I don't actually go in there, so before people run in there asking for free advice. But there was this one guy who...
Because, hey, I tell you, Stick and Hack members will do that immediately. I know a few that will bombard you.
There's people in there at the moment. 80,000. I just couldn't. I couldn't if I wanted to. But there was one guy recently who said, well, I'm hitting it really well, but 1 in 20 shots, I catch a groove low on the face. And then he posted it and he had just loads and loads of advice from people. Oh, you need to do this with your swing. You need to keep your posture. You need to stop early extending. And I just said to him, why can't you just dig in a millimeter deeper into the ground? It can be that simple. It doesn't have to be. Honestly, and people are really good at it. If you ask a player, just dig in a little bit deeper.
I love that.
Instead of clipping the top of the grass, just go for the base of the grass. People can do it. It doesn't have to be technical. And so, I mean, it's hard to charge for that kind of advice, but that's why it's simple advice, but it works.
I love it.
Adam Young and the guest of the Stick and Hack Show, adamyounggolf.com. Adam, thank you so much. You're an incredible, incredible talent and treat to talk to. We appreciate the free advice that you have given here on the program, unless you're going to send us an invoice. Who the hell knows? You might.
I'll send you an invoice.
Sure you will. We're going to play a game with you in just a second. Hang tight if you don't mind. And now it is time, Mike, for a new segment on the show called The Takeaway Notes. So this is where you and I bring some sort of takeaway from the interview. And I don't know, I mean, this could be a 20-minute conversation just with this one takeaway, but we're going to try to truncate it into one takeaway, all right? So and we're going to start with you, the takeaway from today's interview.
I mean, my takeaway really is, and it's something, and it validated something for me that I've always thought, but you never hear instructors say it that often, and it's really around, and when he was talking about with, you know, concentrating on where are you hitting the ball? Are you hitting behind it? Are you hitting it thin? Are you hitting it? Is the face open? And a lot of it has to do with hand-eye coordination. I mean, that's what it comes down to, and training your hand-eye coordination to actually hit, you know, at the bottom of your swing. I think that's one thing that people forget about, and they get so caught up in all of the technical aspects and where are my hands and where are my arms. And like he said, talking about, you look at guys like Jim Furyk and others that are all over the place, and they're totally different in their fundamentals. But when they get to the bottom of the swing, the face is square and they're hitting it crisply. So to me, it's hand-eye coordination.
And that's what everyone talks about, Matt Wolf. It doesn't matter what happens before. Yeah. It only matters what happens at impact. My takeaway is that you can improve your game simply by picking the right club, the right target, and not changing anything.
You would.
That's my takeaway. Hey, this is a no judgment zone. Takeaway moving forward. Let me put out some ground rules here. The takeaway moving forward segment of the program is a judge-free zone.
The Adam's takeaway was, I don't have to do anything. I can just like aim differently.
You're still judging. I was very clear in the instructions. That's my takeaway. All right, time for the game. Let's play in or out. Adam, you're back. Welcome back. All right. The game is in or out of our foursome. So it's the three of us, and we have a spot for a fourth person.
Yep.
And this is going to be music front people. Okay. It says frontmen, but you know, there's women
front,
in here.
Front
too.
Persons.
Yeah, front persons. That's I think what they're called.
Sure.
Front persons.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. In or out. Steven Tyler.
Will you go me first or him?
Who we? Oh, gonna, sorry about that. We're in the middle of an air raid here. So let's go with you first. All right. So
me?
You're first. All right. In or out, Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler's in.
Adam.
I know who he is. I know who he is. Just about.
We forgot. He's from over the pond.
Yeah. He's a fun guy.
Aerosmith.
Yeah, I've seen him before. Yeah, in.
In. All right. Perfect.
100% out. Not even a chance. The guy's an idiot. He reminds me of? Who? Producer Shane. Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac.
In.
Way in.
Springsteen.
In, I think. I don't know.
Adam?
Bruce Springsteen. I've never been.
Yeah, I say out too.
Yeah, I'm going to go out then. I'm changing it.
Okay, he's out.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he'd be in if he said hey.
Yes. This is an actual choice. I'm playing golf with Bruce Springsteen.
All right, Bono. From the group U2.
I know.
Okay.
I'm gonna go out on Bono.
Adam Young, Bono.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out.
Yeah, I'm going out. Yeah. Oh, that's a unanimous out.
Yeah, I think I'm out on Bono.
I have zero interest. If Bono wanted to fill up my car with gas, I'd say no thanks.
Yeah,
pass. Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam.
In.
Oh man, I don't even know who pulled Pearl Jam out. I can't.
I'm shocked. He's in. And we're going to veto any decision
you're outvoted.
Well, you're outvoted. He's in. Eddie Vedder's playing golf with us. Kurt Cobain, Nirvana.
For golf, he's out.
Okay. Young?
Too moody now. Yeah.
Thank you. Agree. That's what I wrote down early in the show prep, that he's too moody. He would bring the entire thing down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, life's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, life's good. There's no reason to write poems about it and do everything.
Yeah.
All right, this is going to be a controversial. Paul McCartney.
In. Not even close.
Out. Out. 100%.
Couldn't agree more, Adam Young. Adam Young and I are best friends, and not just in name only. Paul McCartney's out. I can't stand Paul McCartney.
Ridiculous.
Mick Jagger. Rolling Stones.
Mick's out for me. I'm sorry.
On the fence. I'll say in.
Yeah, I say in as well. Imagine what happens in that round with Mick Jagger. Imagine the things we would experience for the first time ever, probably. Freddie Mercury. Queen.
In.
Interesting. Yeah, in.
Just for the outfits alone.
Yeah.
100% in.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury. All right.
The stash alone.
Yeah. Good point.
I'm in.
Elvis Presley. In or out?
In.
Young?
I was never a fan, but I'd say in because I think he'd be an interesting guy.
Yeah.
All right. I say in too, but I want Fat Elvis.
in the jumpsuit.
Yeah. I want
the glasses, the whole thing.
I want mid-70s,
yeah.
Bloated,
yeah.
drunk, fat Elvis.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I don't want, drugged up Elvis. Out of his mind, eating peanut butter and banana sandwiches every hole. That's what I want.
Oh, God.
All right, that's the Stick and Hack Show, episode one of season three. Adam Young, thank you so much for your time, sir. Adam Young Golf, you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Adam Young Golf. He has 80,000 people part of his Facebook group, and he will not give you free advice. And in fact, he said earlier he doesn't even check it. So go go be a part of that. Adam, thank you. Show brought to you today by UpGlove. Go to UpGlove and learn more about their subscription service. And for your gloves experience that is now brand new to you, the days of overpaying for gloves are over. UpGlove is part of our member perks program for Stick and Hack members only. Sign up as a free member of Stick and Hack and go to our member perks page and see the code and current deal from UpGlove. Proud sponsor of the Stick and Hack Show. Mike, proud of you. Great show.
Proud of you.
Happy Peace New out, Year. Guys. See you later.
Okay, we're done. This has been the Stick and Hack Show. Go to stickandhack.com to become a free member of the world's greatest golf club without the course.